It's time. Clock out with Talentless starts now.
Recording in progress.
Welcome to Clock Out, folks. Welcome to Clock Out with Talentless. Shut up, Joel.
This is already off to a great start.
I love this.
Welcome to Clock Out with Talentless, folks. We're here today with one of our greatest friends, biggest brands, Joel Ugly. How are you today?
I am doing great. It's amazing to be here. I'm excited and I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Let's go. I'm clocking out.
You're clocking out?
All you're clocking right. out.
I clocked out years ago.
Good.
Good for you.
Then you're right on time.
We're trying to get there. We're trying to get there. So, and usually in this format, if you listen to this clock out session before, we're going to ask Joel some very personal questions and three questions. So we'll get right into it. Ashley, you want to start with the first one?
Yes. Question number one. What is the that has brought you to this point in your career?
Yeah. Look, I started off, my first job was, out of college was in retail banking. And I hated retail banking. I'm talking going into an office in a suit, working from 8 to 8 every single day, managing a bank, it was terrible. And one of my friends, he had a recruitment agency and he's like, you should come and recruit. I didn't even ask what it was about. I was like, sign me up. It's fully remote. So I did that and that was about a decade ago. And since then, about 5 years into my career, I started creating content for the recruiting space. Putting out content like this, like just valuable stories about talent, about recruitment, and the combination between recruitment, recruiting, marketing, content has gotten me to this point. So I would literally credit to just putting myself out there, trying to add value, trying to just network as much as possible, and then constantly honing in the skills of like recruiting, learning, right? And now it's a lot about AI and just how much can I learn, innovate, put myself out there. So that's what's got me here.
Yeah, and you do such a good job at it. So
keep singing my praises, you know.
I will. He's going to be on the show many, many more times, apparently, if we keep going with this. Well, and one thing that I'm curious about is on your journey. So, and I think we may have not, I know we said his name, but did we actually share like who all he is? Because he's kind of a big deal, y'all. I mean, people who are watching and listening should already know. I mean, this is basically Joel's brag he came for. He was just like, y'all talk about
as if I need more of that.
Yeah. But so Joel's like a big deal. He has a ton of followers. He's created a ton of talent content. And we are in a new era of people who are in talent and real talent legends are coming out of the woodwork to share their insights, their stories, and things like that, because we're seeing how many posers are actually in place. And we're starting to see a big delineation between who's great and who's not. So one curiosity I had from you in your career, like, what was the moment where you were like, okay, I may actually be able to do this for a living. I may actually be able to make, like, do something about this. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like, really, 2 points. I think if we're looking at recruitment, which has obviously been a large part of what I do, it came pretty early on in my recruiting career. I remember taking on an engineering search, and one of the things that I think made me successful or makes me successful as a recruiter is I'm able to conceptualize the roles I'm working on. So a lot of recruiters will just, they'll go back to what are the keywords on a job description. All right, cool. I'm going to take those keywords. I'm going to put them into a Boolean search. Now I'm going to look at profiles. And all of the profiles that match those keywords, those must be the good candidates, which obviously nowadays that's going to be ineffective because everyone has access to the same tools. Anyone could write a great profile or a great resume. I think what always made me good as a recruiter is I'm curious and I want to understand what a role is, and then I can conceptualize what the role is. And I learned this with an engineering search. Obviously, engineering is super technical. You've got mechanical engineers that are working on buildings. You've got mechanical engineers that are working in manufacturing. You have mechanical engineers that are building small products, big machinery. And I remember just early on just having a knack for being able to have a conversation with someone and literally picture the work that they were doing and then understanding the work that they needed to do, because I could also reverse that and have a conversation with the hiring manager and ask the right questions to understand what is the work that's actually going to be done. And so instead of just relying on keywords and terms or software names and buzzwords, just able to get in there and just say, hey, like, what is it you actually do? Explain it to me. Or obviously look at a resume and put 2 and 2 together. look at the company page, go, wow, okay, if this engineer is working on this and this is what the company produces, this is probably the work they're going to do. So I think immediately that popped out to me. And then the second piece would just be understanding people and wanting to connect with people. Again, I'm curious. So I want to know. I just want to know, like, what makes you tick? What are you into? And that also helps you connect with people, right? Really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And then on the content side, it's kind of a little bit different. But with content, I started producing content. And I remember about 3 weeks into producing content, a flurry of people at one of my old companies started doing the same thing. And they were like, they were kind of not copying me, but they were like, oh, if he can do it, I can do it.
Oh, they copied you, Joel. They had meetings and they were like, we're doing this.
They're
too.
Like, we're going to tell them these weird stories. I'm like, wait a minute, that's my story. You just
went. Right.
But then I had a manager come up to me and he was like, how do you come up with stuff every day? I'm like a week in and I can't think of anything else. And I just realized, like, oh, okay, like I have this like creative side to me. And I'm now finding a use for that creativity. So I feel like it's similar because it's like you just do it and then you figure out like, oh, actually, this is a skill that's needed. And it comes natural to me, which is a complete opposite to working at the bank, which was just everything I hate, like organization, policy, procedure.
I know you love organization so much.
Yeah. You love red tape.
That's why I'm an agency recruiter, right? I can fill it. What's your process?
I just do,
I get it done. I get it done. I am going to make it happen. But what do you have? No, don't worry about that. Yeah.
I do like what you said about that, though, about like the technical part of recruiting and conceptualizing it and then mixing it with creativity, because, you know, it's how I started my career in marketing, got into recruiting and back in marketing on the recruiting side still. But it's that blend for me of like the technical part of recruiting, but like the creative part of being able to sell the dream to somebody. And so I love that. And that idea like really resonates in my career. So that was a great answer to Ashley's question. Wonderful. Oh, whatever. Not the question wasn't good. The answer was good.
That was a great, great question.
Yeah. That's the same question we ask everyone, by the way.
This better be the best answer anyone. This better be the best. This better be have been the best answer that we've had. How many episodes are we? What episode number is this?
This is one of Clock
For
Out.
For Clock Out. This is all one.
Right. So, this is the best answer you've ever had.
It is the best answer. This show is going so well for you, Joel. Oh, my gosh. We're like, this is the best we've ever had.
Gracious.
All right. Question number two or three or whatever we're on. Is there anything that you wish you did differently or would you warn others about as they either it? I would more like to hear about the content side of this, but
yeah,
even on the recruiting side, if you want to put that in there as well.
Yeah. I think with let's do content, because I think I'm sure you're going to get a lot of answers for recruiting. I think with the content side, I think both of you guys kind of mentioned this, like, what we're seeing is over the past few years, a lot of people have built up brands online. Like that was a thing. But now we're entering this new phase of time where a lot more is happening in real life. Conferences, events, networking. And I think what's happening is a lot of people feel comfortable creating content, you know, whether it's writing or I guess podcasting or video. And you can almost see that some people feel really comfortable in that element, but you have to be aware, like, you're going to meet people. So I think what can happen is you can kind of build up a brand of who you almost like want to be, or you can build up a perception of yourself, but ultimately, like, you're going to meet people. And so I think if you're going to build a brand online, my biggest warning would be, number one, I think you're going to have to battle with people not liking what you have to say, like, because you can't please everyone. So that's just going to happen. So that'd be a number one warning. But then number two, it's like you are going to meet people offline at some point. So I just think authenticity gets thrown around a lot. And there's definitely like a nuance there where like you're going to be different online than you are offline, because it's just a moment in time. A piece of content is just a moment in time. But as much as you can, just like keep in mind, like, you're going to meet people, right? You're going to see people. And that's why I've always kind of positioned myself with content as more of a student, like wanting to learn and wanting to create conversation, versus I think sometimes under pressure to be like a thought leader and like blow people's mind. And I think if you're positioning yourself like that, it's totally fine if you are truly a thought leader. But then when you go to events and you meet people, it's a different dynamic. And so, you know, I think those would be two pieces. And the last piece would be just, I think it can become like content creation in general can create a lot of pressure and like anxiety, and it can become work. Right. And right. So I think you have to really question at the beginning, like, why am I doing this? And, you know, I think you've got to have that motive clear almost like as you go along. Right. And like just bring value, wanting the network with people, get to know people, wanting to learn. Like those are great reasons. And I think like what you want to be careful of is just like the pure chasing the likes and the vanity as like just an end in itself. Cause that stuff is kind of empty as well. Like I've gone viral a lot, millions and millions of views, and it can become a hamster wheel within itself as well. So you just got to be careful with that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. You know, I started my LinkedIn journey and I was like, oh, I want this many likes and engagement and all this stuff. And I'm like, I finally gave that up. That's like, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And I don't care if like I get one like or two likes and, you know, and the algorithm's always changing and screws
always
you
changing.
Up and always changing and screws you up. And so, you know, and it's not my full-time job like it is yours, but I gave that up a long time ago because I do think the pressure can wear on you and it can feel like, oh, what am I doing wrong? And you like make yourself insane a little bit. And so when I stopped making myself insane, I got to say what I wanted to say and was able to move on. So I love that advice for people.
Yeah, it's about connecting with people. Like my favorite part of having followers is not having followers just to like look at them and be like, hundreds of thousands. This is so exciting. It's actually the doors that it opens up to like actually have real relationships with people. Like I feel like my network is the most valuable part. And that's the part that people don't see. But it's like when I go to Wreckfest, when I go to Transform, when I go to Unleash and I see people and they like know who you are and you're able to have conversations, like that's the real value. And it's opened up doors for me. But I also think to your point, like just saying what you actually think, putting your point of view out there and letting it connect with the people it connects with. And then you meet those people as well. It's like it's a networking thing. And I think that's just so underrated. And it's like that's the actual true part of networking and content creation. It all kind of goes together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
A piece of that makes me feel like maybe that's why recruiters are going to be so good in this realm is because we already do these things naturally. Like we care to hear someone's story. Like we care to naturally network organically.
Yeah.
So I think that that's something that's an asset for like to explain how you grow so fast. Like you, Mike Padetto, like a few others, like so well. And how do you do that organically without, you know, getting inauthentic or just pumping out post pump? The other thing that you said that I thought was really important is kind of this idea of like the emotional resilience of the fact that like now you're putting yourself out there. So if people don't like what you're saying, it's kind of like they don't like you.
Right.
And so it can feel very, very personal. Another thing that I think we don't talk about enough is once you start making content and establishing a voice, it becomes really hard for you to get hired by everyday brands. I think that that's something people don't talk about enough because once you are well known, once you are like now you have an opinion that's branded and it's like, should we take that on? Should we not? What if they're good? What if they're bad? Like it just opens the door to so much that I feel that emotional resilience piece of like sticking with it and being able to have like comfort in the self to stay strong and confident, I think is something that I myself have to work on. But I think it's something that I didn't think of going in to this type of space, this dotted line. All right, Desiree.
Super tough. No, it's tough because that's people don't talk about that. And then it opens doors. Other doors can close. You also can get locked into your brand becoming your identity. And
right.
Oh man, it's tough because it's like your brand is kind of your identity, but people will make assumptions based on their perception of what your brand is before they meet you.
Yeah.
And this happened a lot where I think people may have an idea of like what my brand is. Luckily, I put out so many videos that like there's a lot of different sides of Joel. If you go to my podcast, if you go to content, there's a lot of different sides, which is kind of like who I am as a person anyway. But it can be really it's interesting when you meet people because they have assumptions about you already. So they might know you and be aware of you, but you also have to like change their assumption of you because it might not be it might just be their perception, not who you are.
Oh, yeah. I 100% had a perception of you. Sorry if you were about to say, but whenever we were at, Wreckfest, because I like saw your face and I was like, that dude looks familiar. And then Desiree at one point was like, that's Joel. I'm like, who's Joel? I don't know. But then, like, once she said it, I put it together with the picture, and I was like, yes. But then I was, like, terrified to introduce myself, because then I was like, yes, that's the dude with, like, multi-million following. He's making all these videos. Like, I don't know. I don't know what'll happen next. I only know your GIF or your icon or your JPEG. Like, I don't know you than, like, words on a screen. So even when you were sitting at our table actively listening to us practice for our talk, I was like, this guy's listening and he's a big deal. But, like, I still never addressed you until you popped in and you were like, wait. And I was like, okay, cool. He's talking to us. Like, I felt like a little kid at school. Anyway, I'm moving past it, but I am here to validate what you're saying, because it is true. There is this, I don't even want to just say a brand, but this mirage around you that's never going to be the real you, because it's what we choose to put out. So it's like, you know, I mean, it is the real you, but it's like the dose that you let us see, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
And there's so much you can take from that. And I took from it like a little schoolgirl of like, well, just wait for him to say hi. But it's like, Joel's a normal person. And so it's so interesting how that happens.
I'm probably
happens.
Not normal, but I'm kind of weird.
Say, I don't know if he's average. Totally normal.
I'm definitely not normal in terms of just like, I'm a very weird person, but I appreciate it. I have the same... But that's it too, where it's like, it's just so hard. And it's like, that's why I love like just meeting people in real life and just like taking that away. And like sometimes people make it kind of like weirder than it needs to be. But it's the same with all of us. It's the same. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. It's like people will get hung up on like one post you did, but sometimes they don't. And it's like, sometimes people are like, most of the time people are like, oh, I've seen your memes. That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
What about the podcast and the 10,000 videos
like
I did?
All the other stuff.
What about everything else I've done? But you're going to stick with the memes. Cool.
Just pick out the memes. Pick the worst thing I do.
It's really easy to do, though. I just tell a joke and then put like a GIF behind, a Jiffy or whatever behind.
Yeah.
It's really easy. You could do it, too. One-liner.
I might. Now we're going to have meetings about copying you, similar to your last company. We're gonna be like, you know what? Joel's doing this. We need to do it.
We copy him already.
We're copying.
Screenshot a quote of mine, you know, and just put agree.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Those are my favorite. It's crazy, crazy. All right. So where can we see you in 5 years? Where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? What's Joel look like? And the brand of Joel look like in 5 years?
Yeah, I love that. I think it's just doing... I'm doubling down on what I'm doing right now. I think hopefully my podcast has grown a lot. Podcast is recruiting is no joke. We're on episode 100, which is coming up to
congrats,
it. But I think
golf clap.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's
thank
awesome.
You. I only
that's
took awesome. Like 5.5 years, but continuing to grow that. So I'd love for that. And then, I think just this executive search role, which I've just recently taken on, love to, 5 years from now, say, hey, I've placed 50 executives. I think that would be my goal.
That'd be cool.
You know, and then just like supporting people, advisor, helping people out. Like I love being like an MC at events. So Transform, Wreckfest. If you guys are listening, I love being a MC over like keynote speaker. I'm like totally not a keynote. Like I'm a but I'm an MC. Like I like to have fun and get people excited and so yeah, I think that's where it'd be. And then, you know, just helping people and supporting people as well, like with online stuff and
well-being.
Awesome. So same energy. Let me ask, 5 years ago, where did you think you would be today? Is it where you are now? Or
It's funny because like, all right, I don't know if you do those, like, you know, like the personality tests. There's one of them where it's like futuristic is like one of the trends. And I'm like, I'm a futuristic person. And so I think when I created content, like I always had this vision of like what's happened now. It's just no one else did. Yeah. And this was 5 years ago. So pre-pandemic, I started creating content. And it was like, it was definitely a thing, you know, it was like you had influencers. But over the last few years in business to business, it's like exploded. Mm-hmm. But I think I always envisioned this, like running a podcast, doing content. That was the primary in terms of how I funded that. I don't think I envisioned like brand sponsored deals. Like that's something that's kind of happened along the way. But yeah, pretty much like the vision was do things that I enjoy, support my family and, you know, meet awesome people. So I'm doing what I want to do. And sometimes I have to step back and remind myself of that, which probably all of us have to do at some point, is like, so, you know, it's like grind, it's frustrating, whatever. You have to step back and go, no, actually, I'm doing something I enjoy, and like I'm working on cool stuff, I'm meeting cool people. And I feel like that's the majority of people I know. And at the end of the day, like, recruiting is really tough, but there's a lot tougher lives out there than recruiting. Yeah. That's for sure. So I have to like be grateful about that. And I am grateful about for that, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could ask 1,000 follow-up questions, but I'm looking at Desiree for guidance. She gives me the mom look of like when I know to do things. So
go ahead.
That's all right. Desiree and I have worked together on organizing some events, and I get that look quite a bit.
Goodness. Well, and that's what I was going to ask. Is there anything in this sphere? I know you just mentioned emceeing, but is there anything that in this next 5 years you're like, I want to tackle that? Like, I haven't gotten onto this yet, and I want to. And I know executive search, I think you mentioned, is kind of not new, but like enough to do it like full on. But kind of tell us, like, what's something, like, if we see Joel out there doing it, we're like, hell yeah, man, he made it.
Yeah.
He did it. He's doing it.
Yeah, I think I've done a little bit of advising with companies, but I would love to get in there and like that advising / investing opportunity. I just have had to, obviously, to invest, you have to have the funds, which, yeah, I'm getting to that point now of just owning a business for the last couple of years. I'm getting to a position where I'd be able to do that. And so I think, you know, being able to do that. And what I mean by that is like, hey, we've got an idea for the recruitment industry. It's a tech idea. You know, there's a lot of value I can bring. It's not just operational knowledge of like, what do recruiters care about? Or like, how could this be used? But also like the marketing, the content, like the relationships. Right. So I would love to get into that, like investing and like advising space.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I feel like I could probably do that now, or I'm getting to that point, and it could be something that happens soon. But you know how it is. There's always gatekeepers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely, there are. Absolutely, there are.
Always.
And if you ever need a female podcast to sponsor, I'm just thinking out loud of a few. I think there's one that's called Talentlit. They have no talent. They're a mess most of the time.
We'll get you some. I think the sponsorships right now, I want to encourage anyone who's like doing a podcast, who's doing any kind of content. Those opportunities are out there. A lot of times just asking, literally, like the first sponsorship I ever got, I just said, hey, does anyone want to sponsor my podcast? Just did a LinkedIn post. 3 people responded. And then I was like, oh, they were like, how much do you charge? And I was like, this much. And they were like, yeah, that sounds great. And I was like, I should ask for more. Then the next time I asked for more. But I feel like you can do that. And my whole idea around, and this is another thing for like anyone who's doing sponsorships or any kind of stuff, charge a reasonable amount.
Right.
You know, like I got hundreds of thousands of followers. I know people who have less followers than me that charge more, but then it's just like they go from one deal to the next. Mm. Think about it like any type of relationship. Like you still want to provide value.
Sure.
Be reasonable with it and build up to it. Because I think there's a danger right now. There's a lot of people doing stuff. And it's like, you know, it's like, don't ruin it for everybody by charging too much and not delivering anything. Like,
right. You know. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
One, do you have questions, Desiree?
No, you have your talent legend question.
Yeah, that was what I was about to ask too. But I didn't know if you wanted to ask it or not.
No, it's okay. Your question.
So essentially Clockout is supposed to be a show where we have created kind of this league of legends of people who are in the talent sphere. So they might be influencers, they might be a recruiter, they might be, you know, CEO of Ashby, putting that out there, Ashby.
We love Ashby.
Halfway Ashley, almost named after me.
It's true.
But I know. But essentially, we wanted to create this space because we do feel like so many people hopped into talent in the past 5 years that have either not had great leaders or have not had a centralized talent function. It is just people who don't know leading more people who don't know. And we wanted to create a space where in our season, they have education, but out of season, we want them to meet the individuals that have done this role, have created success in this role, and have even paved their own path. And that's what Clockout is for, is to kind of get to know you, your journey, and your path. And so are there any other talent legends that you would like to nominate and hear about their story that we could put on the show? Maybe. So
look,
open-ended.
I think, you know, Jackie Clayton, someone I really look
great.
To do. I think Jackie, we've gotten to know each other. I think what I appreciate about her is kind of her wisdom, directness, just the way
she's
gonna say how it is, but she's also like super humble, relatable, I think she would be great. I think, I don't know, Crispin, he's another guy who I think is great. It's people who have been in the industry that have given a lot, but then also, because I don't know if Jerry's done a lot of advising, right? And he's just seen a lot
so
of things.
Wise.
I think those are the people I look to. There are just so many people. I think, those are the two who I think if you get them on the show.
Yeah, those would be like top notch Eppies. Knock Joel out of first place.
I think so. I think so.
Yeah, I'm glad that you suggested
just avoid
them.
Tim Sackett at all costs.
He's the first person I'm reaching out to after this. I'm going to look him up on LinkedIn.
No, I love Tim. I love Tim as well. Yeah, I think one thing that I found with
Aren't you in his book or something?
No. Craig Fisher. Craig Fisher.
Sorry. Yeah. I guess somebody's
so
book.
Popular.
Craig and Tim.
No.
You can't confuse Craig and Tim.
Sorry.
No. But that's the thing with the community is like, there's just so many great people like Nikki Russell, yeah. Someone else who comes to mind. Yeah. Like there's so many people who like are support, who are all about like uplifting others. And I think there's just so many people who I think, just looking at like likes and views and that type of stuff is just like, I think you find some great people who do have followings, but there's a lot of people who like just that has not been their focus, but they're like are actual influencers, right? Like,
right.
They know what they're talking about and they just bring a ton of value. And I think those are the people that, I don't think they've always figured out like the digital side of things, or maybe they're not like, oh, I know how to get my voice out there on video, but they're the people who have real value and influence in the space.
Yeah, that's a valid point. No, that's great.
And I agree. I actually think some of the best voices that I've ever heard talk about these things, they have no focus on following. And to be honest, I never did either until Desiree and I kind of got together and were like, oh, maybe this could be a thing. But So I get that. And I agree with that. I think people who are really doing the trench warfare work are not the same ones that are probably like have the time to do a ton of social media. I mean, of course you can, but who am I? I don't know anything. Desiree, please talk over me.
AI just does it all. AI just does everything for me.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right now we're talking to his AI icon. This isn't him.
Hey, look, funnily enough, if you go on Instagram and you start messaging me, I have Instagram create an AI for me.
Nice.
It's insane. That's cool. It a question, it will send you a video that I've done about that topic.
Interesting. That's super cool.
Super weird.
That's super weird. You didn't set it up. Cool. They did it?
Yeah, it was like a beta test that they're doing. It's just I have so much content that I think they were able to do it with it. But I think the next stage might be like an AI avatar, Joel. It's the whole thing. It's like a lot of people focused on the media part of social media, but like I always try to remember the social, and it's like that has always been a focus. Like a lot of people don't even know this, but like when I first started creating on LinkedIn, it was like every week I talked to two different people. Mm. And I remember people being like, why are you doing that? I'm like, I don't know. I just noticed like the more people I talk to, the more likes I get because I just know more people.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's weird. I thought you just commented a lot of people. I'm like, no, you get like, we need to focus more on the social versus the media. And the reality is I think the media is going to change as well, because you got these like, I don't know if you saw that release from like Google or whatever with that AI video.
Yeah,
it looks really good. And people are like, oh, influencers are cut, and it's like, well, no, because that AI isn't going to be able to like comment back and create relationships. So I think it's a balance between the two, and it's like, let's not forget the social side, right? Just like in recruiting, it's the same thing, relationships, engagement.
Absolutely.
Oh, another guy too, Marcus Sawyer is someone else who comes to mind.
Marcus Sawyer. All right.
Marcus Sawyer.
Yeah, there give us go. The hidden gems.
Yes, you need all the hidden gems.
All the hidden gems. All right, Joel, where can our listeners find you? Where can
they
stalk you?
Not that they don't already know.
Yeah, please. Tell us everywhere. You're everywhere.
Now, if you just look up Joel Lougy, I'm actually the only Joel Lougy in the world.
I used to be the only Ashley.
Yeah, because it's a made-up name.
Oh.
Whole story. My granddad, he's from Trinidad and Tobago. Is that how you say Tobago? People say it differently, but he moved to England actually. And so my granddad was Caribbean and Indian. And so Lougy is actually an Indian name. Lalji is how it was originally spelled. But when he got to England, he didn't want to be Indian. So he changed the spelling of it to Lalgee. And so because of that, there's just like not a name. But if you talk to anyone from India and go Lalji, they're like, oh yeah, Lalji. It's like Smith, you know? Mm. No, it's just like a regular name, right? It's just like a lot of people have that name.
Right.
So Joe Lalji is just a super, super unusual name. So if you search that, you'll find me. It's been an honor to be on the show. And I'm super excited for you guys because I think this is going to be amazing. Like, I love the feel, love the way that you guys are doing this. And I think it's going to be great. So
thank you so much.
Episode number.
And hey, you've been excellent. Thank you. Really,
thank you so much.
For your time.
Have a great day, Joel.
All right,
thank you.
Joel.
You too.
Catch you on the flip.
All right. Bye.